Great to have your company on Sports Day as we roll into our next segment. Thanks to Toolkit Depot. Depot Dollars has been extended until Thursday at Toolkit Depot. Get more kit, earn more Depot Dollars. And we're talking with pro golfer slash author. His name's Nick O'Hearn. He joins us for a chat now. Nick, thanks for your time tonight.
No problem at all.
Let's talk. Before we get into golf, you've turned to writing a book, and it's titled How to Play Your Best Golf. In a nutshell, what did you find more difficult, crafting a career or trying to put into words just how tough that game you love?
No one's ever asked that question. That's a good one. It's not easy, to be honest. I never thought of myself as an author until I published my first book about 6 years ago. And then this one I did all throughout the lockdowns. I just needed something to do, start writing, because I live in Melbourne these days, and we were locked down there for a good year or two. So came about through all that, and I'm really excited about this one. I think it's, in a nutshell, I guess you could say it's everything you don't learn on the driving range. So it's all about how to play your best golf.
Well, it's great to hear. A lot of us can actually take a fair few tips out of this, I think, as well, Nick. If you had to pick a couple, though, what are some of those really key lessons or key things that people can do, that just small things that people can do to try and improve their score?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that I find is, you know, club selection is a big thing out on the golf course, and you know, people let their egos get in the way. One of my favourite sayings is, you want to hit a 7-iron further, use a 6-iron. Rather than trying to smash a 7, I want you to just take an extra club and hit it easy. The only club that you'd really need to hit a long way is your driver, so you can work on that separately. So there's a really good tip, is to take an extra club when you're out on the golf course and just swing smoothly, because your misses with that one will be a lot better than your misses when you're trying to go flat out. And then something else I think that's a real key part about the book is golf is really all about controlling distance. And if you can be, especially with your short game, if you can have good distance control, you'll get up and down a lot of the time, and you'll rarely three putt, because most three putts come from either being too long or short. It's never too wide. So if you focus more on speed when you're putting and controlling your distance, I think that'll really help. And there's a number of tips in the book about that.
How do you go about trying to figure out what your distances are with the clubs that you've got? What's the best way to sort of get that feel?
Oh, for full shots, well, it's a matter of getting on the range and, you know, trying to pick out a target. Maybe it's a 150-metre marker and hit 10 balls and you go, well, okay, how many am I landing around that 150-metre marker? Because a lot of people, you know, they remember their best shots, but when you average it all out, usually that's probably not close to where your average distance goes with each club. So that's always a good way. If you have access to a TrackMan or you have one of those driving ranges you can go to where there's it shows you your distance you're hitting every shot, or even on a simulator, that's a good way to do it as well. You can even do it out on the golf course when it's quiet and throw a bunch of balls down and on a par three or something and hit a 7-iron and see how far it goes that way.
I guess a lot of us probably go to the driving range, as you sort of mentioned before, we just sort of whack away and have a hit and see how straight we can hit them. What's the worst thing that we do when we go to the driving range and that doesn't help us when we actually get to the golf course?
Well, I think one of the biggest things when you are on the range, it's important to, I think, have a part of your session where you're actually trying to achieve a result. Like one of the biggest things I hear is golfers say, well, I hit the ball quite well on the range, but then when I go on the golf course, I can't seem to play. And a lot of the times, because the driving range is wide open, you can sort of swing freely and you can get into a bit of a nice rhythm in that regard. So put yourself under a bit of pressure on the range. A favourite game of mine, which is in the book, it's called Three in a Row, where you've got to hit one club between two targets three times in a row. So by the time you get to that third shot, you've got a little bit of pressure on yourself, because if you miss, well, then you've got to start again. And then, you know, that's when you can work on your pre-shot routine and work on all those things that you're going to use out on the golf course.
Chatting to Nick O'Hearn, pro golfer who started his career on the PGA Tour of Australasia, went to the European Tour before heading to the US to compete on the PGA Tour for 9 years. So he knows what it's like to craft a career at the top level. Golf in 2022, from a WA perspective, we look in pretty good shape with some of our young players coming through. Female-wise, outstanding. Minji Lee, another top three finish this time at the PGA. Do you keep an eye on the likes of Minji and Hannah Green and those young players coming through, Nick?
Oh, of course, yeah. I especially on Hannah, because she's from my home club in Perth, and Mount Lawley. She's been really playing well, obviously, of late. Had a great start to the season. And Minji Lee, I mean, what a performance where she came. Well, she was actually second, just one shot out of winning a second major in a row, which was just an amazing effort. And her brother's doing quite well too, Min Woo Lee. You know, he's popping up in the majors, had a nice result at the US Open recently. So WA golf's in really good shape.
What about LIV Tour? It is creating so much controversy, so much discussion. I don't know whether you're jealous that you're not playing in it to make the money, or whether you look on and say, well, I'm glad that's the decision I'm not involved with at the moment.
It would be a good choice to have, wouldn't it? But it's really been a fascinating time in golf, and sort of sitting back and seeing how it's all panning out is, who knows where it's going to go. I mean, if you get a crystal ball and you go, in 3 years' time, what's golf going to look like? I don't think anyone can predict it at the moment, but I think in a roundabout way, even though it's, you know, fracturing the game a little bit at the moment with all this controversy about players going and staying and getting all this money and so on, I think it'll be good for the game in the long run, because the PGA Tour has had a pretty tight rein on professional golf for a long time. And, you know, it's really upset, I guess, a lot of our Australian schedules at times, because a lot of those players that were in the US, I mean, myself included, for a little while there, it was very, very hard to come back here to play in Australia. So they're starting to look at revamping their schedule and sort of finishing it early. So our best players like your Cam Smiths and, you know, Mark Leishmans and all those guys, they're going to be able to come back and play the Aussie events now, which is fantastic for us. So, you know, the Saudi Golf League, as they're calling it, or LIV Golf, I mean, the numbers they're throwing out monetarily, I mean, it's just insane what they're doing. It's very much a controversy. I quite like the team aspect of it. They're just going about it in a very cheesy and awkward way. And, you know, if it helps the game of golf in the long run, I don't see it being a bit of an issue. But obviously, you know, there's some issues where the money's coming from and the whole sports washing side of things. So it just depends on which side of the fence you sit on. I'm sort of sitting back and just looking at it all going, well, this is going to get very interesting the next 6 to 12 months, that's for sure.
It certainly is. Do you see the LIV Golf side of things being sustainable into the future? And you kind of touched on it there, the PGA, they're obviously going to have to change things up a little bit themselves. So that might just kick them into gear a little bit.
Yeah, they've sort of, you know, sat back and let things go for quite a while. And their schedule really is too long. And they announced the other day at the Travelers that, you know, they're going to shorten the schedule. They're going to put more money into certain events and create some sort of top 50 events similar to the LIV format, so to speak. So they've already had to make some changes. Whether the LIV Golf is sustainable, well, I mean, it seems as though there's a never-ending, you know, source of money there. So money talks in any sport, in any business. So, you know, they're not in it for a return, which is pretty obvious, because there's no way in heck that they're going to get their money back, obviously. So what their end game is, who knows? You know, obviously the main thing that everyone's talking about is the sports washing. But it's funny, you know, once the gun goes off and people start playing golf, well, everyone sort of forgets about that. The only thing I would say is, you know, for all those players that are competing in those events, no cuts, 54 holes, they may lose their desire for the game, because they're getting paid all this money and there's no one's really cares who wins and who loses in these events, I don't think. Whereas, you know, when the majors and the big tournaments that we've always come to know and love, like your Australian Opens or the Memorial tournaments in the US, or whether it be, you know, the Volvo PGA in Europe, those sort of tournaments have status and you go down in history with those sorts of things. These LIV events, I'm not sure how it's all going to pan out.
Nick, we could talk golf forever with you. You've got such a wealth of knowledge. Didn't even get to mention the fact that you're the only man to have beaten Tiger Woods twice in the World Match Play Championships, but that is nicely tucked away in your memory bank, I'm sure. You've got this new book out. It's called How to Play Your Best Golf, at all good and not so good bookstores, I'm sure. Thank you so much for joining us on this Monday night, and may the book be a roaring success.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Adam. And look forward to chatting again soon.
There it is, Nick Ahern joining us. Pro golfer. What a career he forged over so many years. That was for the Toolkit Depot. More on Sports Day coming your way shortly, including the Kia Top 7.